Hey guys, we're back. Another episode of Smart Brand Marketing. Today with me, I have Brandon Olson. He's from Aweber. They just released a very interesting research about email copywriting and best practices. So I just want to talk to Brandon about that. What's up, man?
Yeah, not much. How are you?
Doing well. We kind of had a call before when we went over a little bit of this, but we just didn't record it. So I think, you know, I think maybe by you could start off by saying why you guys did the research and sort of what that entailed, so people understand what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. So we did this research mainly because we're constantly asked by our customers what should I put in my email? What makes an effective email? You know, in terms of, you know, the copy within the email, you know, the best subject lines to write, how long they should be, should I be capitalizing them or should they be all lowercase? So we get a lot of questions from our customers, about, effective emails, effective subject lines. And so we decided let's go look at the top 100 marketers out there. And we handpicked 100 of those top marketers. And we analyzed 1,000 emails, so 10 emails from each of those marketers, and we drew some findings or some conclusions across the board about, you know, what are the top marketers doing in their emails, you know, in terms of how long their emails are, you know, how long their subject lines are, what they're putting in those subject lines, how they're formatting them. So that was kind of the impetus on why we decided to kind of pursue that research, was really to answer those questions in a more concrete way for our customers, because we can tell them, you know, what we find effective with our marketing, but we wanted to broaden that and look at, you know, who are the best of the best out there that are doing email marketing, and what can we learn from what they're doing, which is kind of what we did in pursuing this research. And it took us about, you know, 3 or 4 months to kind of comb through all those emails and analyze them and really dig into them. And so we're excited about kind of the findings that we were able to kind of uncover there.
So two questions here. How did you pick which marketers worth researching and which of their emails are worth researching? Because, you know, that's tricky, right? Because you only did 10 from each marketer. And, you know, if you picked like a test run or 10 crappy emails, you know, the test doesn't work. So how did you guys pick those?
Yeah, so what we tried to get a pretty wide variety of marketers, so spanning, you know, multiple industries and multiple, you know, numerous countries, because we wanted our customers kind of represent that. We have customers who are in all sorts of different industries and different countries. So we wanted a good sampling so that we could so that it could be relevant to every customer we have. And, you know, how we picked the emails, we really focused on their automated emails. So, you know, when you first sign up or subscribe to their list, what are those first 10 emails that you get from that marketer? Now, that's not the case for all of them. You know, for example, Ann Hanley was one of the experts that we analyzed. She doesn't necessarily have an automated campaign, but she sends a biweekly or every other week newsletter to her list, and it's, you know, just jam packed full of value. So it wasn't the case with everybody, but where we could, we focused on the automated series of emails that they send, and then filled in wherever it wasn't a full 10, for example.
So if someone just asked you for the 80-20 of your findings, what did you get? What are the basic things, like the top things we need to do with our emails to make them work?
Yeah, so there were four key questions we tried to answer in the research. Was, you know, the first one was, how many words should I use in my email? The second was, how many characters should I use in my subject line? Third was, what percentage of subject lines include emojis? Because that's kind of an up-and-coming trend we're seeing a lot more of. And the fourth one was, how do experts capitalize their subject lines? You know, is it a sentence case? Is it a title case? Is it all lowercase? So we looked at those four things, those four questions, and what we found. I'll start with the first one. So how many words should you put in your email? on average, you know, we were seeing, you know, from the 1,000 emails we looked at, on average, we were seeing about 434 words, which is about a little over three minute read. but however, you know, 50% of those emails were less than 300 words. Mm. The other half, or actually the 24% of the emails were actually much, much longer. So 600 plus words. And so we dove into kind of what we were seeing in those two different kind of camps. So with the shorter emails, you know, people like Henneke Destermatt, who's the founder of Enchanting Marketing, she sends emails that are less than 300 words. And the kind of the reason that she gave us for why she does that is people's time is short. You know, people don't have a lot of time and they're time starved. And so succinct messages help them make quicker decisions. So that's kind of her approach on why she goes with short ones. On the flip side of it, like I mentioned, Ann Hanley, she sends emails that are on average, you know, 1,800 words, which is much longer time, you know, to read and consume, 14 minutes roughly. And her reasoning there is that it's not so much about, you know, creating long emails and whether they're effective or not. It's what's effective is the value that you're putting into your list. So she doesn't sit down every Sunday with a goal to write the longest email she possibly can. She has a goal of writing an authentic, valuable, and fun letter to each and every subscriber on her list. And that's why people respond to her emails. So it kind of varies on kind of what the goal is. And Andy Crestodina, if you're familiar with him, he's the founder of Orbit Media. He kind of summed it up really nicely. He said that if your goal is simply to make people aware, it doesn't matter whether it's long or short. But when a subscriber sees it, likes it, makes them smile that you've met your goal. But if your goal is to drive traffic, then you should be sending more succinct, more compact information so they can get to the meat of it and take action as quickly as possible. So it all depends on kind of what your goal is. If your goal is to really delight people and you know, provide a lot of value, then, you know, long emails make sense. Whereas if your goal is to get someone to take an action really quickly, you know, shorter, more succinct and action-packed emails are the way to go. So that's kind of, you know, answering that first question. It really depends. And we saw that these experts kind of, depending on what their goals were with their emails, you know, that kind of dictated whether it was a long email or whether it was a short email.
Got it.
So moving on, like subject lines, for example, you know, what's the most effective subject line length? Mm-hmm. We found that, you know, of the 1,000 emails, 1,000 subject lines we analyzed, we found that on average, they were about 44 characters in length. A lot of that has to do with kind of how subject lines display in your inbox. So we know that, you know, about half of emails are opened on mobile devices. So, you know, what you see on a mobile device is going to be a lot different than what you see on a laptop or your desktop, your web app. So, you know, 82% of the experts we looked at had subject lines with 60 characters or less. And that makes sense because otherwise it gets cut off after the 60 character mark. That's kind of industry knowledge is not too surprising there because you want your subject line to be as visible as possible. So if you're writing long subject lines, you know that they're going to get cut off at some point. So try and make your subject lines more succinct and keep it within that 60 character frame or window so that you're not at the risk of getting those cut off. One of the experts, Brian Dean, who's the founder of Backlinko, he sends subject lines with an average of 15 characters. So really, really short, a lot shorter than the average. And, he's done that because he's done a lot of testing with his subject lines. And he's found that the shorter subject lines get much higher open rates. His hypothesis there is that, you know, shorter subject lines reach the inbox more frequently, and they are more mysterious. So he likes to create that intrigue and that to pique their interest by using shorter subject lines. And he's tried this out, you know, on many of his emails, and you know, it seems to have been effective for him. And then moving on to the third one, emojis. You know, we're seeing a lot more people asking about emojis, but surprisingly, you know, not too many of the experts that we looked at are using emojis. Only about 7% of them were using emojis in their emails. So, when we've kind of reached out to some of these experts to kind of find out a little bit more about why, we found that they see them as a risk, and mainly because they may not display correctly in emails, depending on the email client. Right. You know, so for example, like Windows 7, you know, a majority of them have limited support for emojis, so they're going to show up as, you know, weird little characters within your subject line. So, so a lot of the experts that we talked with saw them as a risk. But at the same time, there's a great opportunity there. More and more email clients are starting to support them. And with only 7% of subject lines including emojis, that means there's an opportunity for you to stand out, you know, that emojis are going to allow you to kind of, you know, stand out within that, you know, inbox of emails. So, you know, for one of the experts that we kind of looked at and talked a little bit more about this was Mark Asquith. He's the founder of Rebel Base Media in the UK. He frequently uses icons and emojis within his subject line. And he said that a well-placed smiley, timer, or contextual emoji used alongside a well-thought-out subject line will really make your message stand out within someone's already busy inbox. And if your listeners are curious about whether they should or shouldn't use emojis, we'd recommend using some A/B testing. So send out your next email in an A/B test, with one with an emoji and one with not an emoji, and take a look at those results and see does putting an emoji in there, you know, impact your open rates. Does it, you know, make more people open it up and take action? So always be testing and looking at how you can improve on those subject lines. And the last thing that we looked at was really kind of how the experts were structuring their subject line in terms of how they're capitalizing them. So we found three common formulas, the first one being sentence case. That's where the first letter of the word is capitalized and everything else isn't. We looked at title case, where the first letter of the word of every word is capitalized, and then we looked at you know, some of the experts that were using all lowercase, you know, no capitalization whatsoever in their subject lines, and you know, by far that was the smallest percentage, but the largest percentage was using the sentence case, so capitalizing that first letter, and then the rest of the subject line was lowercase. But you know, what was interesting was, you know, 6% were using all lowercase, and so we looked at some of those, and we talked with some of those experts, and one of them in particular was Val Geisler, who's an email marketing expert and freelancer. She points out that people are more likely to open an email if it's from a personal connection or friend. So, you know, when you're writing an email to a friend, you know, a lot of times you won't use the title case. You'll just go ahead and write it in lowercase. So she writes her emails as if she's writing to a friend, and doesn't capitalize that. And, you know, when we asked her, you know, what results she was seeing with that, you know, she says on average she gets about, you know, roughly 80% open rates and 30% click rates with her emails. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, the fact that she does a really good job of building strong relationships with their subscribers. I don't know if it's 100% attributed to whether your subject line is lowercase or not, because in her case, she provides a lot of value, and I think her subscribers are already really engaged. But I'm sure that the lowercase capitalization in her case has really come in handy and allowed her to drive up those open rates. So those are kind of the four things we looked at, and some of the findings that we came across as we were, you know, studying these and combing through the research.
Did you look at the frequency at all? So for the 10 emails, how long on average did it take for them to send those out? Is it within 10 days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
So that we didn't look at that mainly because, the various cases were so different. Like sometimes we were looking at an automated series where it was timed out. Other times, like in, the example I gave earlier with Ann Hanley, she sends hers, every other week, on a Sunday. So the frequency varied quite heavily between whether it was an automated email or whether it was, a manual one-time broadcast that they were sending. So so we didn't look at that in particular.
So is there a reason why you guys did not look at emails with the best click-through rates or open rates instead of just 100 top marketers? Because that would be interesting, right? To find like the most opened emails, like let's say 1,000 emails on AWeber, because you guys can see that, who opens what, and see what the common traits of those are, the best converting emails in the system.
Yeah, you and I spoke about this, a week or so ago when we were prepping for this. That's a great idea. And definitely we have the data, and that's something that we're going to be diving into as well. For this particular research project, we decided not to go that route, mainly because we wanted to kind of answer some of these questions really quickly for our customers.
Right.
Now, 3 or 4 months it took us to comb through the 1,000 emails. So not terribly quick, but had we, gone into our own data, it would have taken much longer to kind of go comb through that, pull the data, and draw some correlations. But definitely we want to do that research because, to your point, it's really helpful to see what the best marketers are doing. But, it'd be even better to kind of pair that with, what results are they seeing in terms of open rates, which ones are getting the highest, lowest click-through rates, et cetera. So definitely another research project that we'll be tackling in the future.
Yeah, I think it would be super interesting, especially since you have the data now from these guys, to see the correlation too, right? Is what they're doing actually working? Right?
Yeah.
It would be super interesting. Like, I would love to see that too. Not just seeing like what really works, but just see like the assumptions of the top marketers, like how close to what, we should be doing, we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was kind of the tricky part with this research is, they're not necessarily, these 100 experts were not necessarily AWeber customers. So, And even if they were, we wouldn't be able to just grab their data. We'd need that permission. So trying to get all 100 of them to kind of share that data with us was challenging. But, we can certainly, look at our own data and not, tie it to personal information. So, look at summary data to figure out kind of what are some commonalities there without disclosing the personal information of our customers.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to at all. Like, if you just did this exact thing, right, and you would just say, okay, in our previous research thing, the average was 430 words in email copy, but the best converting emails have this much. Like, it would be just great seeing, the actual, just the reality versus just what we all think, we should be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. That kind of stuff really gets us excited and also our customers, because then, that's really, really valuable information that they can then take and apply to their own email marketing and see if they get the same results. So, that's definitely something we'll be tackling here in the future.
Did anything surprise you from the results? Because I know you guys came into this with some assumptions.
Yeah, I think so. I think we were a little caught off guard that not more people used emojis because it's kind of a growing trend. And I think we were also pretty surprised by the length of the emails that some of these experts send. So, I was pretty surprised that, 11% of the experts write emails that are over 900 words. So, I mean, when you think about, the experience you have in your inbox, you've got, hundreds, if not, more emails in your inbox at any given time. And for someone to send you an email that's, you know, 900 words or more and takes you, you know, you know, 10 minutes to read, you know, that was surprising. But, you know, but a lot of these experts are doing it and they're seeing really great success. You know, Anne Hanley, for example, you know, her audience is really, really engaged, and mainly because she provides a lot of value in her emails. You know, they're just jam packed full of great, you know, resources and information. So that was surprising to me that to see that so many of them were sending those really long emails, because we hear time and time again, oh, your emails need to be short and impactful and to the point. And that's, you know, that's definitely, you know, valid. You know, especially when you think about, you know, what's your intention with that email? Is it to get someone to sign up or register or download something, then get to the point quickly, give them what they need to know. But if it's really to just kind of be a delightful experience and give them a lot of value, then you don't necessarily need to get to the point right away. And if you build that strong relationship with them and they know to expect that from you, you know, time and time again, then they can kind of build in that habit that you know, they know to expect to just, you know, grab their coffee and sit down on a Sunday morning and spend 20 minutes, you know, reading your newsletter. So
did you guys look into how many people use text versus images or videos or memes or GIFs? Because I see, you know, stuff like that have impact too. Like one of my friends, he sells an SEO course. And, well, like you said, his email is like, I think, 1,000 or 2,000 words, because he put me on the list once to just take a look at it. I was like, dude, I can't read this. But it was just full of memes and GIFs and things. I was like, wow, I'm definitely looking at the images, and, you know, it's making me laugh, and there's some impactful stuff in there too. So, you know, it was very long, but I would be curious if you looked for that too.
It's possible that we did. It may not have stuck out to us as something that really you know, jumped out, but I can go through the data and see whether that was something we looked at. My gut says we didn't focus on that,
right?
But that's a really interesting question, and we'll have to go take a look at the research and see if there was any interesting points that jump out when it comes to images versus GIFs and memes and such.
Yeah, just curious for videos. Well, Brandon, thank you for coming on. And how can people connect with you?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on. It's been great to kind of share this, and we love talking about email. You know, I guess, you know, you can go to learn more. If you can head over to aweber.com and you know, check out our website. If you want, we're offering a free email marketing sort of content bundle. So if you go to aweber.com/connect. You'll be able to download, you know, courses, templates, videos, a bunch of tips to help you improve your email marketing. I'm always available. So if you want to have questions about email marketing, you can email me at brandono@aweber.com or tweet at us on Twitter at aweber. I'd love to connect with you if you have questions and help you out with your email marketing.
Awesome. Sounds good. I'll put that connect thing in the show notes too, so people can see that.
Awesome.
Before you go, let me know if you enjoyed this interview. Leave a review, subscribe, join the Smart Brand Marketing Facebook page, whatever is easiest. Also, if you need my help marketing your online course, or know that your business could use some SEO, come to smartbrandmarketing.com, check out the case studies, and reach out to me. Once again, smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.